Remember, faith is the foundation to be able to receive what God has promised. Faith comes from hearing. So that song where what God has spoken is the foundation. And that's what we stand on, the unshakable foundation, because God has spoken. So it's a very meaningful words in that song concerning just trusting God at this time, believing what He has spoken, and to be able to stand on those promises. So Father, we want to thank You that Your Son sustains everything by His powerful word, everything in heaven and on earth. And Lord Jesus, You have spoken, and You continually speak to us as Your Holy Spirit takes from You and shares with us. So what a foundation, what a reality, as we are on a unshakable, in an unshakable kingdom where everything else has been shaken. But because we stand on what You have spoken and Your word and what You have revealed to us, we are on solid, unshakable ground. What a privilege for us as children of God. So today, Lord Jesus, as You share, as You speak, as You reveal more about who You are, Father, as You give us a spirit of revelation and wisdom and understanding, so that we may know You better and better. And this we receive and thank You for this grace that You've released to share with us this morning in the name of Your Son and through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are continuing looking and just beginning to understand more and more of what the more grace is that God has now released upon our lives and what it's all about. And that's what we've been looking at. And you will find, as I've shared probably about, I think, two Sundays back, that as we're going through this, you will begin to experience how the Holy Spirit will give you specific instructions, and you will really begin to realize, but this grace is connected to this instruction. And once we know the instructions of God, we'll be able to apply this grace, learn what this grace is all about, and how to walk in the reality of this grace of God. And again, if we look at just the basic definition that we looked at when we spoke about grace, it is God's provision that He has made through His Son Jesus for you and I to be able to live God's dream, to live what He has purposed for our lives, to empower us, to have understanding, to be fully equipped, everything that we need to be able to really live in the fullness of what it is to be our child of God. That's His provision. So it's God in action. It's something that God has done, and it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to learn a little bit more on how to receive more of that and so forth as we go on in this particular time of God sharing about grace. So we looked at John in chapter 1, and that's why if you look at Ephesians, where we speak about the body of Christ, that we can grow into the fullness of Christ. He is truth. He is grace. And now we're learning to just grow more and more into the fullness of Christ. And it's the body of Christ. It's not an individual. It's for all of us. And I believe this, I was just listening on YouTube as I'm doing research on United Works on YouTube. You do research on grace, and all of a sudden you get these feeds. Louis Giglio, and The Passion, the guy that speaks about creation, and how also just in the last 2 weeks, it's just about grace as well. And so all over the world, you're starting to see that's the message that God is releasing to the body of Christ because of what's about to take place, and for us to learn how to be strong in this grace of God, how to apply it, how to live in this grace of God, so that we can live in the unshakable kingdom of God. And so let's not neglect the opportunity we have to learn how to be strong in grace. Okay, we're going to be needing it. There's so much there that we won't have time to share all, but let's have a look at John chapter 1. We've been looking at this particular scripture, but again, I want to emphasize verse 1 onwards to verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now through Him, this is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in this darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, this is grace, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, this is all the grace of God, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Then we have an amazing scripture, the Word became flesh. So here we see Jesus Christ, the grace became flesh, truth became flesh, love became flesh, all the attributes of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's fascinating, because he came from the Father full of grace and truth. In other words, grace and truth existed before creation. Because many times we look and we say, well, grace is now only in the New Testament. You see, Jesus came and grace came through Jesus. But we forget that before the foundation of the world, Christ was already slain. You see, grace and truth has always been in Christ Jesus before creation. So it's always existed. It's always been the Father's plan for grace and truth to be in his Son Jesus Christ and to be released through Jesus Christ. And that's very important when we start to realize that grace and truth was before the foundation of the world. Let's look at some more scriptures over here in Ephesians quickly. That one is in Revelation 13. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we see the exact same thing. Praise, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Grace has always been in Christ Jesus. So before creation, we were already chosen in him. Grace already was involved. God's plan, God's ways, God's provision for us, because he knew we were going to be falling short. We're going to be turning our backs against God. God had already, in his Son, made the provision. So grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Now that opens up when we start to read the Old Testament. And you realize that the starting point in understanding the Old Testament will be from the foundation that grace and truth already existed. And all of a sudden, when we start to read through the Old Testament, you start to see the incredible reality of the shadow, almost like if we can use the word, the shadow of grace. They only experience part of grace. They experience aspects of God's grace. But when the time had fully come, the fullness of God's grace came in through his Son Jesus. So you and I are now able to experience the fullness of the incredible grace and truth of God in and through his Son Jesus Christ. That's where we are. That's where we live. We don't yet realize that, and that's part of the renewing of the mind. So we have a look. Some people will say, as we've been looking at the law, and the law has a message. The law is full of God's grace, because God is exposing, he's revealing to mankind that whether it is the written code in the hearts of every human being, and the law is exposing that, listen, we thought we were perfect human beings, but we're not. We keep on sinning, we keep on lying, we keep on doing this, we're doing that. That's God's grace to lead them to Christ Jesus when the time had really come. All the time you see the incredible grace of God in the written law. Again, the message of the written law, again, is to say, be holy, be perfect as God is holy, as God is perfect. And so that's the grace of God in taking and revealing and speaking to humanity worldwide. Guys, I created you in my image. But you're no longer living in the fullness of what that's all about. So there's a separation. Your spirit is now dead. The wages of sin is death. And that's a reality. So we cannot relate as a father and as children. But I'm giving you the law to guide you, to lead you to the true revelation of the fullness of my grace and truth, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we see here when John now writes, "This was he whom I said, he has come after me and has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." And that's a grace upon grace, the blessing, the provision of God in his Son Jesus Christ. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So Jesus is the only one, as we shared last Sunday. He is the only one who knows the Father. He is the image of the Father. He was with the Father before creation. He's always been. He is the Son of God. And so we speak about the truth. Only Jesus can reveal the full truth of who his Father is. Only Jesus. Others only saw in part and whatever the Holy Spirit revealed and the glimpses of that. So only in Jesus. And that's going to be crucial because we want to ask the question, how do we receive more grace? Only in Jesus is truth revealed. Only in Jesus is the fullness of grace revealed to you and I. Only in Jesus is the fullness of God's involvement in our lives. Only through Christ Jesus is all the provision of God for you and I to be able to live as children of God in this world. Only through Jesus. And this is why, as we go into more depth of this, it's going to be important to understand the importance of learning how to live from our spirit, because our spirit is in this reality of the fullness of grace. Our soul is not there yet. Our body is not there yet. We're getting wrinkles, etc. Our soul, we get sad, we get depressed. So we've got to learn how to live in the spirit to be able to receive the fullness into our soul, and we start to live it out in action. Okay, so that's part of the journey as we continue in understanding how to be strong in the grace that we have received through Christ Jesus. So as we've been looking at this, I want us to quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus fulfilled the law. Remember, Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. The law is there. The law is in the hearts of all human beings. That hasn't been removed. It's still operating in people's lives to lead them to Jesus Christ. To shout, listen, you're not perfect. You need help. And so here we see that in the life of Jesus, in his life he fulfilled the law. In his behavior, in his relationships, in his very thoughts, in his attitude, in his motives. Everything about the very way Jesus lived on this earth, everything that he did, he was fulfilling the righteous requirements of God's law. He did it. Okay? So we're Adam and Eve, we're human, we all mess up over there. Jesus, in his very life, fulfilled that. So he is doing something that you and I could never have done. Part of now the reality of grace. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we read here in verse 21, this is about Jesus. "God made him," Jesus Christ, "who had no sin, to be a sin for us, a sin offering. He represented sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is profound, because here we see what Christ did, and this is why we need to understand what it means to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is why it's important to understand the old has gone and the new has come. This is why most of the time when we read about the new creation, we're still looking at our soul, but my soul is still the same soul, my emotions, my tantrums, my jealousy is still the same, it's not new. My body is still this wrinkled old body. But we forget, we're speaking about the spirit that's brand new. The spirit that's a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's our spirit man, been born again by the spirit, by the desire, the will of the Father. Okay, flesh gets birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. So here we see something profound, what Christ did for you and I. Because of his righteousness, the way he lived, he became our sin offering. So that you and I, as we believe, as we receive that grace, as we heard the message of what Christ has done and we received that, what took place? Again, how do we receive righteousness? By faith. You and I now, our spirit is righteous, God declares us righteous, and now we have become the righteousness of God. Think on that for a while. Just ponder on that. What does it mean to be the righteousness of God? What does it mean when my spirit is declared not guilty? What does it mean to be able to be so intimate with the Father because my spirit is perfect, my spirit is righteous? How does it open up for me to engage with God? How does it open up for me to be able to understand the reality of grace and receive more grace? What does it mean to be able to live on this earth knowing that my spirit has been declared not guilty? See, if we don't think like that, very often we are very sin conscious. And we don't realize, but we are the righteousness of God because of what Christ has. Grace comes through Jesus, what he has done. His righteousness, we have been credited his righteousness. That's the gift that comes when Paul writes over there in Romans 1:16 and 17 about I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation. What Christ has done, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, it's a power to bring us to a place of salvation so that we can receive a righteousness that comes through this gospel by faith. And that's what took place. As we heard this incredible message, we've received Christ's righteousness. And this is why we keep on going back to that scripture there, that this incredible grace of God now reigns through this righteousness. So how do we now operate? We know now, because we've been declared the righteous, our spirit is righteous. Now we know that this grace of God, his provision, rules and reigns through his incredible gift that he's given to us, and we've been declared righteous. So we are now able to live in the power, in the fullness of God's provision for you and I. And this is going to require us to renew our mind, to start to really, wow, God, that's my truth. And to start to live not from the soul dimension of what we see here, etc., but what the Word of God says. What is the condition of our spirit? What is our new spirit? What's our spirit like now? What has taken place that we've been born again? What does our spirit look like? How does our spirit communicate? And for us to begin to get that understanding as we continue. This is life-changing for all of us as we begin to really start to realize what God has done with our spirit man. So here we have, and we'll spend a lot of time going through that, particularly next year, early next year. And this is why I've said, as we're speaking, the Holy Spirit will start to just share each one of us something about this. He has an instruction I'm giving to you. Now we can, our soul will maybe react to that. Our mind will might rise up in fear and all those kind of things. That soul, but our spirit says yes. And now we've got to renew our mind and start to live from our spirit, knowing that everything that is needed for that instruction that Christ has given to you and I, everything is in that grace flowing into our spirit, so we're able to live it out by faith. Okay, are you ready for it? Yeah. We know that the flesh resists the spirit, and that's why we have to start to grow in this and just become more stronger in the spirit, stronger in grace, to be able to hear what God is saying to us. So here we continue and we see over here, God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might now become the righteousness of God. Holy, holy God, the Son of God, the holy, holy Son of Man, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. He was perfect as God his Father is perfect, because God the Son is perfect, and he lived as God the Son of Man, perfect life on our behalf. So we receive what he has done. It's not by works. Okay, now we carry on. He fulfilled the law, not only the way he lived, but he fulfilled the law in the way he died. The wages of sin is death. God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And from then onwards we see mankind, and we see in the spiritual realm the spiritual death taking place. So not only the way he lived, but the way he died, the way he as the righteous one died on our behalf so that we could live. The way in his death where he could receive the Father's judgment, the righteous judgment of God the Father, he fulfilled the law, because the disobedience to the law is curse. He became a curse so that we could receive all the blessings that come through Christ Jesus. And that's huge when we start to look at the reality of how he, the way he died, but not just in his death, in his resurrection as well. Not only in his resurrection, but also in his ascension. Not only in his ascension, but also in his glorification, where Jesus prayed, the glory I had before, let it be again. Now we're starting to realize our spirit is in Christ Jesus. We've been born again. We've been seated with him. So here's the truth. Now we're in the reality of now participating in his very glorification. That will take a while to renew your mind to that, because there's so much there when we start to understand he, this is grace, he has made us to be a kingdom and priests through his blood. Grace was what he has done. He has raised us up in his Son Jesus Christ, seated with him in the heavenly realms. He's sitting in his glory. Our spirit is sitting there, participating in that. The Spirit of God, who knows the very thoughts of God himself, comes and reveals to you and I, speak to our spirit, those incredible deep things, so that we have the mind of Christ. Spirit to spirit. The believer, the true worshippers, worship in truth and spirit. This is part of the grace of understanding what Christ has done in his death and resurrection. When he was raised from the dead, and as we see in Romans 6, we died with him, but we've been raised with him. So in his death, he made the provision for us to have died with him. In his resurrection, he's made the provision for us to be raised with him, righteous, declared, not guilty. He has done it for us. And we're not even touching the fullness yet. It's just so much more that Jesus said, I've got so much more to tell you, but the Spirit of God will come and guide you and teach you and take you into all the truths, into all truth. I love it, because the fullness of truth and grace comes in Christ. The Holy Spirit will take us into all truth. So we've got an incredible, long, long, amazing journey of discovering truth and living in that truth. In Ephesians, I want to just quickly go to Ephesians chapter 1. We read there the first few verses, grace and peace to you from God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he carries on, as we saw there, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us, to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. This is before creation. Okay. To the praise of his glorious grace. Again, his provision, his action, what he has done on our behalf that we could never have done, which he freely, grace, given to us in the one he loves. When the time had fully come, Christ is born, and now we can get to know the fullness of this love, the fullness of this grace, the fullness of the truth that comes in through His Son Jesus, who came to reveal the Father to us. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Can you see the favor of God, Him leaning forwards and just pouring out His incredible grace upon our lives, what His Son has done. It's His will for all to be saved. Lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even in Christ. Or one head in Christ is the correct Greek word. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Now look at verse 13 onwards. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. How do we receive this grace? How do we receive the grace upon grace? How do we receive more of grace? Okay? So what does the Word of God teach us over here? You were also included in Christ, in God's provision, in the fullness of grace, in the fullness of truth, when you heard the Word of truth. Faith comes from hearing. So by faith we receive the message of grace. By faith we receive the provision of God for mankind by faith. Can you understand why religious faith denies the flow of grace? Can you understand why the spirit of religion loves to control believers? Because they're operating on a religious doctrinal faith and not in the living faith of Christ Jesus, God's faith Himself. It's denying the reality of living in this incredible reality of God, and that you can read that in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 and Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 right to verse 7. And we read over here, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the grace message. Having believed, now you've believed, so now you've received, you have faith, you believed in the gospel of salvation, in the word of truth, you were marked in Him with a seal. Now you've received the promise of the new covenant Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Listen to this amazing scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul is speaking about the new covenant and about the victory and the triumph and these things. And he says over there, we show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not of tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human heart. And then he carries on about this incredible confidence. And then he goes on and he says, now if the ministry, this is now the giving of the law through Moses, now if the ministry that brought death, the law cannot make us perfect. The law exposes our sin. The wages of sin is death. Now if the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters on stone, came with such glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry, this is now the new covenant in Christ Jesus, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is a ministry that brings righteousness? The law could not get us to become righteous. It showed how unrighteous we were. Now in Christ Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit being released to us as that deposit, we have now been declared righteous and has brought us into a right relationship. So we go back to Romans chapter 5. that because we have believed in Christ, we have received the message, God then says, not guilty, no condemnation. Because by faith you have received the grace that you now have entered and have access in which we now stand. So once again we see this incredible, glorious reality, what took place when we believed, when the Word of God, when what God said to you and I, Christ became very real. It wasn't just knowledge, very, very real. We believed what took place. Now that Holy Spirit ministering to us now has given us life, righteousness, made us to be right with God. Our spirit is right with God. Grace flows into our spirit. Grace is in our spirit because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And now we want to learn how to do it. So as we hear the instructions, as the Holy Spirit shares with you and I, specific truths, opening up words to us, giving us a revelation, and the Word of God is alive, the Word of God is active. As the Holy Spirit communicates this to you and I, we know that there's a provision for you and I. So as we believe that word, what takes place? Now we have entered into more grace that has been provided for us to live out and live in the fullness of what He has shared with you and I. So hearing what He's saying, believing and receiving, we start to get more grace. We start to live in that reality of the more grace. And so we see here where whenever the old covenant is read, there's a veil over their face. But for all of us who believe, when anyone who turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Spirit to Spirit. And as our spirit beholds the glorious God who is Spirit, what's taking place? There's an inner transformation taking place into our soul dimension. And there's that transformation taking place. You and I becoming more like Christ Jesus from glory to glory. God's provision. One last scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1. How do we receive this grace of God? Peter is writing to the body of Christ and he's praising God for the incredible God faith that the believers have. And in verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. That word abundance, grace and peace multiply to the place of overflowing in your life. How? Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we believe, like in Ephesians chapter 2, and we see there in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, onwards over there in verse 10 as well, that you've been saved. It was by grace. And how did you receive this grace? By faith. So now we hear the message of God. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. The grace upon grace, the increase of grace through our knowledge of Him. So the more with our spirit we behold the glory of God, the more revelation of Jesus Christ. So the more we communicate, the more I preach about Jesus, and as I grow in Jesus, the more as you hear and receive, the more grace you get, because you now see more of Jesus, and wow, and you're able to, there's a grace to be able to live in that revelation of Christ Jesus. That's how it works. And that's why I say, if I preach law and legalism, it's all that there is a revelation, there's a veil. You need to preach Jesus Christ, because grace and truth come through Him and Him alone. I can speak about so many things, but if I leave Jesus and don't speak about Jesus Christ, there's no grace and truth coming through. We have to begin to really understand that. So when you testify, when you minister to folk, a lot of the time people want you to minister to their soul and agree with their soul and their sadness and their depression, etc., etc. No, there's no grace and truth there. Speak about Jesus. What took place when you got born again? Your spirit is alive. Speak about the reality of grace flowing into your soul so that your soul can respond to the powerful resurrection power within us. So Paul prays that in an incredible way that God will open up our eyes, that we will understand this great inheritance in us. the born again new spirit. It's in Christ Jesus Christ, living in grace and truth, so that can flow into our soul and we can live out from our spirit man. Amen. But again, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Look at this. His divine power, this is God's provision, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge. Again, through our knowledge of Him, revelational truth, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, the grace of God. Through these, through this knowledge, through this incredible goodness of God, through the promises that God has made, through all of these, through His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Any questions before we close? At all. Okay. So, Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you as you continue to share. And I know there's a lot that's been spoken about, but we ask that your Holy Spirit, you will bring to our remembrance things that need to be remembered at the precise moment so that we can take hold of what you're sharing with us and begin to apply this and to grow in what you are sharing. So we want to thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit, who you have provided for us as the most incredible gift to come and dwell within us, to lead, to guide, to share with us, to testify to our spirit and the things that's on your mind and to communicate with us. So we want to thank you. Jesus, we're going to sit and just have time with you around your sacrifice. And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came as a man and you lived a life that fulfilled the total requirements of the law of God. But also in your death, your resurrection, your ascension, and then your glorification, you died to fulfill the law. And we want to thank you for that. What a privilege that we can eat, knowing that your death was our death, but your life is our life. And we've been raised from the dead. What a privilege to be able to eat together, knowing that our spirit was raised from the dead and it now participates with you in the resurrected life. And we want to thank you for this moment of just celebrating this together as a family of God through you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.